Hello and welcome to Babylon. My name is Jeremy Kendall and I am here with my brother Nathan Young, who is now going to be a permanent fixture on the podcast. Hello, Nathan.
Howdy. How are you doing?
Notice he said howdy because Nathan doesn't exactly live in a place where they say howdy, but he is now residing in the US in the state of Kentucky. Am I right, brother?
That is right, yeah. And I can confirm in the nearly a year I've been here, I've heard exactly zero howdies from the native peoples.
I'm sure that's true, yeah. So he is now studying at Southern Seminary. And so he is our roving reporter there. But he has lovingly decided to join us and help me with this podcast on a more regular basis. And today, we begin our podcast after about, 7 or 8 months, I think, without doing anything. And there is reason behind that. And number one, my laptop went to be with Jesus during lockdown, and it didn't exactly give me a lot of opportunity to record. But also, in New Zealand particularly, we had a world of hot topics that we could have discussed. But in a brief moment in my life of wisdom, I chose not to speak on these because everything was just such a hot topic that I think it would have been unwise for me particularly to engage in them at that time. A few things have brushed over right now, and we're starting to see a little glimmer of light happening in our country. The borders are slowly opening, lockdowns kind of over, but with mandates floating around our land, getting in the way of people losing their jobs, affecting the household income, I think it's appropriate now that we address the protests that are going on, particularly in Wellington, but they're up and down the country in New Zealand. They're all over the show and they're around the world. So they're in Australia, our neighbors. They're in Canada. Of course, they were the real big ones that kicked everything off. They're starting to happen a little bit more in the US, and they've been all over the show in Europe for a long time. And so what I wanted us to talk about today is, as Christian believers, are we to protest such things or not? Now, obviously, there are some good things that we can get out there and protest about, such as abortion. But here we find a political opinion being placed on the table. And so, Nathan, our question today is to protest or not to protest. That is the question, to throw a little bit of Shakespeare in there. Have you ever been on a protest before, Nathan?
I have. I've protested a few things over the years, and mainly theological things or moral things that I saw the government trying to change. So I guess they were political, but they had a theological or a spiritual underlay. And one was the prostitution reform bill in the early 2000s. I was against that, so I was out getting signatures from people to try and have that bill repealed.
I can't say mine were quite as honorable as yours. I have once protested the new NCEA system that they brought in back when I was 15, and to be honest, I just wanted a day off school, so I grabbed my trumpet and I headed down the street with all the students. To this day, I'm ashamed of that, but
I think there'll be a lot of kids that realize that from the protests last year about global warming and all that kind of stuff. And 90% of those kids just wanted the day off.
Oh, straight up. Yeah, absolutely. I remember being on Queen Street with a brother having coffee and seeing all these kids going past who've never paid a power bill before or had a job, and they know all about global warming, bless them. But that is not what we're talking about today. Forgive me, I'm taking us on a tangent. We want to look at Christians being involved, particularly in this protest against mandates and the, shall we say, the thumb of government coming harder down upon people of these Western countries, ironically, where we have it pretty easy compared to other countries. And so the first question I have for us is, how does Christ want Christians to be perceived by the world?
I think that's a really important question to ask first, because as Christians, how Christ sees us is important, because we're saying he's our Lord and he's our Savior, he's supreme, And so his view of our actions is incredibly important. It's and he's called us to be set apart and to be holy. And he's given us certain things to try and follow so that we would live as light and salt to the world. Ultimately, if we're obedient to his will, hopefully that will be noticed by other people, and we can use that as a launch pad to share the truth that we have within us, that we can share the gospel with others.
Yeah. So holiness lives out in our life in a way that is peaceful, right? And we see 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 11 to 12, those instructions laid upon us that we're to live quietly, to mind our own affairs, and to work with our hands as we were instructed by the Lord, so that we may walk properly before outsiders and be dependent on no one. So it's not just for the sake of being holy as he is holy, which you rightly said just now, but it's also so that we will not be dependent upon the world, that we will actually be so focused on our own world and caring for our family and caring for the needs of our Christian community, that we won't rely upon the government and upon the world to support us and hold us up. We need to stay focused and caring for our own community first and foremost.
It is a difficult thing though with these mandates, because they kind of cross that line a little bit. And
do they what?
Those
spheres of sovereignty.
Yeah, when we're trying to care for our brothers and sisters in Christ, some may have elected not to be vaccinated, and some would have. And so we're told to show no partiality. That's a clear instruction from the Lord. And so when we have to weigh up whether we want to protest, if we are protesting, we're looking after that brother that has decided not to get vaccinated. If we're not protesting, then maybe it looks like we're not supporting those, you could say, weaker brothers, or those brothers and sisters that haven't, you know.
Yeah.
I guess it's a hard thing, and it's a muddy.
It is. And we're not endorsing protesting, nor saying you shouldn't here today. What we're going to do is we're going to look at some passages in Scripture that will hopefully equip you to make that decision yourself. And maybe not to go and join them down in Wellington, but maybe to support them or not to support them, to pray for them or to perhaps pray that this will come to an end soon. So the second question I want us to look at now, some brothers and sisters have felt compelled to participate. Now, whether they're right or wrong, how should we treat them as brothers and sisters in Christ?
I think, from personal experience, I've had two brothers and a sister-in-law that have been protesting, and I'm not going to treat them any differently than people that did protest or didn't. You know, we're going to continue to just live and work together. If I was in New Zealand, maybe I would have gone, maybe I wouldn't. It's I don't think it's a sin issue whether you do protest or not. So I think we just continue to treat them with love, like we should be treating everybody.
That is going to be a witness to the world, isn't it? Because right now we're in a world where opinions are polarized. There is very little in between. Everything's black and white, and people don't know how to engage in debate and discussion and still love each other and still be civil. And so John 13, 34 to 35 reminds us that by the way we love each other is how we're going to be a witness to the world.
If one of my brothers had gone down there to protest vaccination and they said that it makes you magnetic or it puts radio cells in you so they can track you, I would call them out for that, because there's no scientific basis for those assumptions.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean I'm not going to love them just because they have a foolish idea. Not saying that my brothers do have that idea, but
no.
Yeah.
Either way, we have to love them. We have to show them respect. But that doesn't mean that we don't rebuke and reprove, do we? We are to instruct them. That is the loving thing to do.
That's right. Yeah. And so having discussions with people and continuing to sharpen thinking around the gospel and Christ and what he has willed for our lives is important. If we see brothers protesting for things that aren't important, or they're doing it in a way that isn't honoring God, if they're down there blocking roads and doing things that aren't peaceful,
we
should call that out. If my brother went down and flung poo, I would be calling him out. That's part of the issue, and the hard thing about these protests is it's a group of very different people with different views, trying to get different things So it does muddy the waters on whether these protests are good or bad.
Yeah, it is hard to participate in a, as a Christian, someone who is opposed to the mandates, but to be there with a Rastafarian flag is the central concept to the whole village. It's hard to endorse one thing while many other opinions are floating around in that protest. Mm. I do also want to say, though, that, you know, in rebuking a brother, it doesn't always mean that it's going to be easy, but it is the loving thing to do. Yes, it may be uncomfortable, but that is the loving thing to do.
Mm. Yeah, and having said that too, there were some good examples of men that we know in the church that went down there, and they talked about their respect for government in the few minutes they had to share.
Yeah.
They talked about Christ and his love for people, and so they weren't shy of trying to bring the truth to people, and so they weren't blocking the road, protesting peacefully, and I think honoring to God.
Yeah. So we are to live quiet and peaceful lives. What does that mean for people today in New Zealand and Canada, Australia, across Europe, Christians? How should they live peaceful lives? What's it going to look like?
Yeah, well, peace ultimately will only ever be established through God. Man, you know, as a fallen being, we cannot bring about peace by our own means. So peace ultimately relies on God saving us or doing something to the world to bring it about. And so the only real means for peace is for us to share the gospel and to be a peacemaker, is to share the word of God.
Yeah, no, I was challenged by that. You know, these protesters down at Parliament, all they want is to talk to the government, ultimately either side. They only got the ACT party coming down to speak to them, and I don't think that was really the goal. But if they had 30 seconds with the Prime Minister, what would they share? What would they say to her? That they're fed up with mandates, that they're fed up with their government. As Christians, I'd like to think that if we had 30 seconds with the Prime Minister, we'd share the gospel message. It's the ultimate way that we're actually going to influence peace and change in the government, is to see the Prime Minister come to faith. And that is my prayer.
It is. And I guess that's why, as Christians, we're told to pray for our leaders. We're told to respect them. So it was good to see Christians there honouring and saying that government is important, and we need to be praying for Jacinda and giving her correct title, not just calling her Cindy or Auntie Cindy. And she is the right honourable Jacinda Ardern. She's our Prime Minister, our Prime Minister, and God's put her there.
Even though that is colloquially acceptable in New Zealand, we need to be set apart. We need to be different, and do just as you were saying. Rhetorical question, but let's leave this for the listeners and us to ponder. Is this protest peaceful, as Christ has instructed us in 1 Thessalonians? Is it bringing about an opinion of the church that is loving? So are people looking at this protest and going, hey, the Christian church and those who are involved in this, they're a really loving bunch. They care for one another. They care for the police, for the government. I really want to participate in that. So I'm going to leave that question as rhetorical. you may have something to say to that, but I think we all need to ponder on what this protest is truly achieving, not just the one in New Zealand, but around the world.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess the only thing I would add is, you know, as Protestant Christians, protest is kind of in our DNA.
It sure is.
With the Reformation. And so protest is part of the church and part of our history, part of our heritage.
Mm.
And it's not a bad thing, protest. We wouldn't have some of the beliefs we do in the solas and stuff without Reformation and men like Martin Luther, who stood up to the church. But the thing, I guess the difference is that's a theological protest.
Mm.
It wasn't a social movement, and it wasn't political. So,
well, I think we should say that there were moments where people took it too far. Our brothers like Martin Luther made their point and tried to get on with things, while others took it in a political stance. So there is a place in protesting where it can go beyond putting the point across to a place where it becomes just a nuisance. And perhaps that's where the Christian needs to discern whether I can be a part of it here, or perhaps this protest has gone too far and I shouldn't be a part of it. Or I don't think there's necessarily a clear cut answer to this question.
Yeah, and it would have been nice to know that the Reformation, you know, came about without the loss of life, but there was a massive loss of life. And I guess that shows partly how serious these issues are, but also how fallen man is, and that we, I don't know, resort to our own means and own forms of judgment to decide things.
Yes, far too often. Okay, well, how should we behave toward our leaders? And let me just add into that the local media and the police as well, because they're kind of getting a bit of a bit of stick at the moment as well. There are rumors, I don't know the truth about this, but that there are hangman nooses hanging in trees at various protests. As you've made mention before, there are human feces being flung at police, spitting at police, threats to the media, blocking roads, and as you said before, referring to politicians by their first name and even nicknames as well. What should our response be? How should we be treating
them? I guess we need to always treat them with respect and dignity. All men and women are created in the image of God, and so we have a certain amount of human dignity and respect that is from that. We're, you know, the crown and glory of God's creation. Everybody deserves respect, and we need to treat people that way. So, you know, flinging poo and all those kinds of things and deliberately blocking roads to disturb people, while it might get your point across, is that what Christ would want us to be doing? Is the question we have to ask. The media, that's a difficult one. I don't think they've done themselves any favours in the way that they're reporting this in a very one-sided manner, but that doesn't mean we have to be disrespectful. We can,
yeah,
we can call them out on their, I guess, one-sided reporting, but
even Christ shook up the temple, didn't he, when he saw wrong being done. Doesn't mean we don't just stay silent. We can call people out. We can, as we said before, rebuke even the media, but we need to be appropriate in the way that we do that. Perhaps Romans 13, verse 7 is a good verse for that. Pay to all what is owed to them, taxes to whom taxes are owed, revenue to whom revenue is owed, respect to whom respect is owed, honor to whom honor is owed. And of course, Jacinda's, forgive me, Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern, her title, Prime Minister, is number one servant. That's what it means. Whether she's done that well is by and by. We still have to respect her for who she is and what she's doing for this country. We will wrestle with that, I imagine, as Christians.
Yeah, but we're called to pray for them. And I think prayer is effectual. God listens to our prayers. That's
right. Yeah.
And God answers prayers. So, you know, we need to be praying for her and for her team as they make these rules. And who knows, God might bring about that change. He may not, and we'll just have to move on and live with it.
But yeah,
we cannot stop to cease praying for these things.
Amen. Yeah. Do we have the right, though, to protest? And I'm speaking of in the flesh here in New Zealand and America.
I think we do have rights to protest. God's given us rights in his word. We have certain property rights and other things that, you know, God ordained in the law with the Jubilee and different types of land ownership. And so we've been given rights by God for certain things. He's also established the government as a sphere of kind of control, and their role is to provide, you know, justice for people. So God's established all of these things. So we do have rights under those things. And an example would be Paul.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
In his trial or lack of trial, he complained that he was a Roman citizen and being treated unfairly. So we do have rights.
He didn't make a big thing of it, though, did he? He simply just stated this, and it held its weight.
But it's whether we want to protest all of those rights and, you know, trying to weigh up which right is the right that we want to die on a hill for or in a ditch.
That's right.
You know, thinking this week, I was doing some study in the Old Testament and thinking of Caleb and Jacob, and they went out with the other 12 or the other 10 spies. You know, their names are recorded, but you never remember their names because of what they said. But Caleb and Jacob came back after spying the land, and they said, you know, let's take it over, let's do it. They were obedient to God, and they were willing to follow him. But then the other 10, because of their kind of influence, influenced the whole nation, and they were stuck in the land for another 40 years. And you talk about being put out, and, you know, their right was to go into that land, but they had to put up with that for 40 years. And I think just in my own situation, I get put out if I don't have coffee in the morning, you know, like, and I'm upset and disturbed. But Caleb and Jacob, they live with that for another 40 years. Yeah. So.
And it's often in those times where the Lord, well, it is in those times where the Lord sanctifies us and molds us into the image of the Son, isn't it? You know, we are to go through these periods of time of strife and struggle because that's where he's teaching us.
Yeah, and it's not saying that it's wrong to stand up for your rights.
No.
But sometimes even if we do stand up, it may not be that we're heard. And so it's how we then respond to those situations, I guess, is
yeah.
Maybe where we're finding ourselves now.
I'm probably too black and white in my thinking, but I often think of Romans 6, that the wages of sin is death, and therefore my right is to be destroyed. If it weren't for the grace of God, there would be no rights but death. It's only thing I deserve. So that should drive us on, that even though we're struggling through a time of perhaps persecution for the church or mandates or any other kind of thing that's happening in our life, we are saved by grace, and therefore every moment that we are in the presence of Christ, we are rejoicing. Every moment is a wonderful moment because we have him.
Yeah, every day is a new mercy. There's a scripture I read this morning that said the God who holds our breath in his hand. It's a pretty incredible thing to think that every breath God is giving to us, and it's all mercy and it's all grace.
Yeah, isn't that wonderful? Well, okay, let's suggest that the protest is over. It's not. It's still going on in Wellington and around the world. And whether you were a part of it or you weren't, let's say no changes are made by the government. Everything carries on as is. How should the church respond? How should we live out our lives?
I think the thing that we have to do is just get on with it and keep doing what we're called to do, and that's to be salt and light, to share the word of God with fallen world, and to proclaim Christ as King.
Yeah.
And point to his sacrifice that he's made for us.
Because the church doesn't stop just because of a mandate or because of lockdowns. It carries on.
No, yeah, it must carry on. And, you know, sadly, if these mandates continue or get worse or other laws are added to these, like you mentioned, we've just had a law passed in New Zealand about conversion therapy. And you mentioned there's another law coming about hate speech.
Yeah.
You know, the church might fairly soon be prosecuted for preaching against certain things about trans men or trans women, or
she doesn't change, she doesn't die out, she is held up by the Lord.
The church will continue, and Christ, the good thing about the church is it's not us that builds it. Christ says he will build his church, and that's the cool thing. In those places where there is persecution, like China and Russia and other places, God continues to build his church.
Yeah, so, okay, well, look, that is perhaps a little blunt. Get on with it, but I think it's appropriate, isn't it? 2 Timothy 4, verse 2 says, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season. So specifically saying there's no one appropriate time to share the gospel. It's all the time, anytime. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience. And teaching, patience, that's the word to lean on there. There is an appropriate time for civil disobedience. We see that with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the book of Daniel. Daniel himself was instructed to pray to the king and not to his lord, and they disobeyed. But ultimately, in any other situation, if we can live peacefully with the world and the government, we are to just get on with the work of the church. And that is, as you said before, the proclamation of the gospel. Yeah.
Amen. Can't add anything to that. That's it.
So maybe in that proclamation of the gospel, you are to be found on the streets of New Zealand protesting. Perhaps not. We simply just want to lay these thoughts before you to encourage you in your own decision-making and how you participate in your community as we go through these very difficult times. And we want to make sure that our opinions to protest or not to protest are biblically based, and that we're not just going out there in our own passion and desire to see a country as it should be. Sometimes those countries will go through some pretty rough times because the Lord is going to refine his church through those trials. We have very different views, Nathan and I, on some things, and on many other things we are united. We slightly disagree on this one. We won't say.
I'd say that I'm more positive to one side of this than maybe you are, but we won't say what way.
Yeah, we'll let you decide. But we encourage you to seek the Lord and his word as you pray for your nation, as you pray for your leaders and the people of these nations. Ultimately, that our greatest protest is that they would come to know the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so we petition our Lord and ask right now that he would save the leaders of this nation, both New Zealand and America, and bring about change through the gospel.
Mm. Yeah. One thought I'd just add in closing is just thinking about my position and what I would probably do. I would liken it to, say, Peter in the garden, the night that Christ was handed over, and, you know, he draws a sword and cuts off the ear of a guard, and Christ, picks up his ear and heals him because that wasn't what he wanted to happen. You know, so I think we just need to be cautious in the way that we attack things.
Definitely, yeah.
And I might lean towards Peter and want to swing a hammer at things. But I think that's why this is discussion and taking it back to the scriptures is important for us to do as Christians, to
be slow to check speak.
Motives. Exactly. And to do things properly. Mm.
Which is a struggle, I think, for most of us men, particularly, to not let our emotions get the better of us. Hey?
It's a hard thing to do that, to be angry and not to sin.
Yeah, exactly. Well, brother, thank you for joining me on this particular topic. And we do pray that this would be of encouragement to those who are listening. And we will see you again, Nathan, in our next episode next month. We will be doing it towards the end of every month, hopefully in a similar pattern each month, but knowing our time schedules, it won't be that consistent, but we'll do our best. In the meantime, please check out our Instagram page and join us again for another episode of Welcome to Babylon.